So after my mom passed, my brother and I, it's only us two siblings, we both said no. We were okay with this story ending the way that it was.
Right.
My husband, at the time, he worked in construction. We had a very serious conversation about what that meant. He was like, how can we let this gift go? Your mom made this happen. We've talked about a couple trials and tribulations, fires and a pandemic, all these things, and she still made it happen. And even when she was sick, she still made it happen. How can we let this go?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. Anybody who's watched this show for any length of time knows that I'm a huge fan of Anthony Bourdain. And one of the things that he has always been a very strong proponent of, actually many things he's a strong proponent of, is finding the places that are off the beaten path. And so when my producer came to me and said, hey, I think I found something here that you should take a look at. And I saw it and I thought, you know what? This is perfect because this embodies exactly what this episode is about. Because not everybody is in the fanciest locations. Not everybody might even be in the best locations. But they are doing something extraordinary that resonates with their community. And they're really doing their best to improve not only their lives, but the customers and the people that they have been called to serve. With that being said, I am in Muskegon Heights at Navarro's with the owner, Mari Sierra. Mari, how are you?
I'm so good, Cliff. That was the most beautiful intro I've ever had. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Absolutely love it. So, Mari, why don't you tell us really quick, what is Navarro's?
Navarro's is a family-owned and operated Mexican takeout restaurant located proudly right here in Muskegon Heights. We have been family-owned and operated for 45 years, and I am the third-generation owner.
Love it.
Yeah, we started back in the 70s with my grandparents. So this building originally was a grocery store.
Okay.
Yeah, so back in the 70s, there wasn't a lot of places to find staples for a Mexican kitchen. So meat, produce, and my grandparents were music lovers, so they always had records and cassettes and 8-tracks. I don't even know what those look like, but they were here.
Right.
But then my mom took over. When she turned 18, she decided college wasn't for her, and she actually purchased the business from my grandparents. Growing up, I never appreciated that part of her story.
Right.
It was who she was. But now, being in her position, I can't believe that she was able to do this at just 18 years old. She grew her family. This place transitioned from grocery and some food to completely takeout only. And then I grew up here. Me and my brother, we were the kids who complained way too much about being here after school. And then I left Muskegon. I went off to college. I started my own family, had big girl jobs in corporate right. America. And my last job, I thought I was going to retire from, but my mom suddenly became ill with leukemia.
Mm.
And she kept this place going until she passed in 2020. And our family was faced with a decision what to do with this place.
Right.
At the beginning, I was like, that's a wrap. Navarro's, it's been fun, but I like having benefits and health insurance, all those things.
Stable income and all that stuff, yes.
And I was so far removed from this place at the time that I was a little bit too big for my britches.
Okay.
Before my mom became sick, she actually asked me to leave my job and come run this business.
Oh, wow.
And I told her, looking back now regretfully, that she couldn't afford me, that I had gone to school, I had a degree, and I turned her down. But my mom always had a way to get what she wanted. And we ended up reopening in 2021. And we are here now, recently just celebrating 3 years under my ownership.
And there's a lot there for us to unpack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit there. So you said that this has been family owned and operated for 45 years. Now, was your grandparents, were they first generation immigrants to the country?
Yes and no. So
okay.
What's interesting about the Navarro story is that people assume that our entire family is Mexican. Navarro, my grandfather, Angel Luis, he's actually Puerto Rican. So he was a migrant worker. He came, I don't know the exact date, but he came from Puerto Rico to work in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandmother's side of the family was from Round Rock, Texas. So her parents were from Mexico, immigrants to the United States.
Gotcha. Okay.
The way that they landed here in Michigan was field work. So both of the families, either side, were coming to Michigan to pick cherries and apples and all those things, and they would migrate between Michigan and Texas. But they ended up landing here with industry. So Campbell Wine and Cannon, which is now CWC right down the street from us, was a huge employer for people of the Hispanic community, and they ended up putting down roots here in Muskegon.
You were sharing about how your grandparents helped to start many like local groups in the community, all about supporting the Hispanic family, Hispanic entrepreneurs. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, my grandparents' story is really incredible. They were both really large personalities. So my grandparents had one of the first Spanish-speaking radio shows here in Muskegon. So I was a kid who would answer the phone at the radio station, like to take music requests. My grandmother also proudly had a recording of me singing a Christmas song, I think Jingle Bells in Spanish, which she just played every Christmas. They had a television show. So it was called A Cita con Navarro, so A Date with Navarro. They really were just larger than life, but they had a passion for advocacy in our community. So they started an organization called Latinos Working for the Future. They supported students that were graduating from high school. They ended up at some point creating a center called La Villita for senior citizens, but also were supporting youth with summer programs, scholarships. My grandmother worked for the Community Foundation. She sat on a number of boards. And I always say that I don't ask me to name them because I will forget some, but she was truly an incredible and accomplished woman, but she never felt that way. She was just like, this is my responsibility, and was always just very, very humble.
So you were sharing before about your mother. Did she ever share with you why she opted to go into the restaurant business?
I think we were having a conversation off mic about someone that you know with dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mother struggled with some learning disabilities that went undiagnosed.
Okay.
My brother was later diagnosed with ADHD. I am just like, oh, I think I have a little bit of that too. So she just didn't have a passion for learning, but she had a passion for people. So I think that's why this place is so magical. It's because she knew so many of her customers so intimately that when it was my turn to take over, I was meeting people that, you know, who were customers that I waited on in high school. And I would try to give them an update on my life. Like, I have two kids now. Like, I graduated from college. Like, all these things that I had accomplished. And they're like, honey, we know. You don't need to tell us. Like, your mom
Mom's
kept
telling us.
Yeah, mom kept us up to date. Like, she knew people. She knew their family. She knew their story, their orders. And she just was so wonderful at that. I openly admit, was a terrible business owner, like managing the business. There'd been a lot of room for growth. But when it came to the people and the connections and her connections outside of these four walls, like that's where she really shined.
Nice. And then when you were talking before, so you went off to college.
I did. Yep.
And what did you study?
I went to Aquinas. I studied, surprisingly, business management in Spanish. I don't know why I chose it. It was just, I was getting close to my senior year. I needed to make a decision. And I was like, that sounds pretty good. So I took the safe route. But after I got my big girl job and was at my last company, I decided actually to go back to grad school to get a degree in management. And the goal was to continue growing in my organization. I wanted to lead a high performing team.
Right.
I wanted to be a manager. Cliff, be careful what you wish for, because I got it, not in the way that I expected. So I expected, you know, to be in an office and have a team, and I have a team. It's just not the way that I envisioned it. So I am a grad school dropout. I went back to school, and then 3 weeks later is when my mom passed. So I continued for some time, but after a while, it just was a lot. And then I was running this place too. I decided to let it go, but the world has a funny way of giving you what you ask for.
Your mother asked you to come and work here and you turned her down. But then something changed your mind about coming in and yeah. working here and stuff. And I know your husband is actually a part of that too.
Yes.
So why don't you talk to us about what was it that made you say, you know, I'm going to do this after all?
So I was kicking and screaming, Cliff. I was still hesitant. So after my mom passed, my brother and I, it's only us two siblings, we both said no. We were okay with this story ending the way that it was.
Right.
My husband, at the time, he worked in construction. He had worked in construction his entire adult life. We had a very serious conversation about what that meant. He was like, how can we let this gift go? Your mom made this happen since you were a kid. We've talked about a couple trials and tribulations, fires and a pandemic, all these things, and she still made it happen. And even when she was sick, she still made it happen. How can we let this go? I was still very hesitant. I was like, mm-hmm. you know what? I will get the paperwork going. I will help you the first week of service just to get you guys up and running. Like, I will still let the community know that it's still our family, but I have my job. I'm happy here. And I, when I let my manager know that this was happening, I was like, please know, like, I don't ever plan on leaving. I love it here. And they, my manager at the time actually came and ate that first week here. And I was like, yep, don't worry, boss. I'm going to continue being here. Don't worry. And we continued on like that for a while where I was just very much on the back end.
Sure.
But slowly and surely, I just kept taking on more responsibilities and being here more. And finally, the day came that I sent a little message because we were still working from home. It was 2021.
Right.
I sent a chat to my boss and I was like, got a minute? And as soon as she jumped on, she was like, you're quitting, aren't you? And I was like, yep. Yeah. Like,
she probably knew that first time she came here.
I used to work for Gordon Food Service. I worked in the corporate headquarters and she came in, she tried our tamales. And it was like, girl, I don't know what you got to do, but you got to get these into GFS.
Yes.
So the wheels kind of started turning from that conversation. Like, what if? Like, what if these tamales were across America? And that is something that we've been working on slowly but surely, packaging and stuff like that. It's a dream that I thought was a little bit closer. I was a little naive and a little green about that process, but it is still a dream that's on the horizon.
For audience, we're going to take a quick break and thank our sponsors. When we come back, Marie's going to share a little bit more about the story, but also what you can expect when you come to Navarro's. We'll see you after the break. Are you enjoying this episode? Well, I can tell you there's a lot more to come. Jump over to TotalMichigan.com, enter your email address, and get on our mailing list. You'll get a list of the top 5 episodes for the show. Along with that, you'll get all kinds of behind-the-scenes goodies, as well as upcoming guest notifications and so much more. Just go over to TotalMichigan.com, enter your email address today. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. Today, we're talking about good food with the owner of Navarro's in Muskegon Heights. That would be Marie. And Marie, before the break, we were talking about kind of starting your transition from corporate life to the insanity of restaurant business. And so one of the questions that I got for you is that, you know, when you're making the jump, you text your boss or whatever it is, and you're like, hey, you know, do you got a minute? What was it like to really just realize day one, okay, there's no safety of a paycheck anymore? Literally, like you have to perform, you have to make this work to keep the money coming in. Talk to us about that transition.
I've never been in that position about having to worry. I've been so very blessed that the foundation that was created by my grandparents, by my mother, has created an amazing loyal customer base. We saw people who had been customers since the 70s, we are just a stone's throw from Muskegon Heights High School. So people come in all the time talking about on their lunch break, they would come and get a chips, cheese, meat, and gravy, or they would get tamales and then go back to school. And we are so blessed that those people have brought their children and their grandchildren. So now we have this beautiful story of generations of owners, but also generations of customers. I think for me, the biggest challenge has been taking care of those loyal customers, but also getting new eyes on this place.
Right.
Because you're right, it's been here, it's been what it is, and that we've leaned into the story. You know, we're, like you said, off the beaten path. We're not even on the corner of 8th and Sherman. Like my family used to say, we're tucked in past the corner. And this building, when you look at it, it looks like a house. This was, I don't think, ever intended to be a restaurant. People, you know, sometimes are a little trepidatious when they drive up and they don't know where to park. And they're like, what is this place? And I joke with people that if you open a dictionary and look up hole in the wall, like there's a picture of us there, you know? But for me, the biggest challenge, thankfully, I've never had to worry about keeping the lights on or things like that. It's been, how do I take this beautiful gift and grow it? So the challenge has more been about, how do we get in front of new eyes? How do we encourage people outside of this beautiful community to come in and try our food, fall in love, and hopefully become that trickle effect of, you know, more generations of customers.
Every day that I've been here in Muskegon and I've told people I'm going to be doing an interview at Navarro's, their faces light up without fail. So they all know you right off the bat. They're like, oh, Mari, she is the best. The second thing is, you got to try the tamales without fail. Talk to us about that importance of working within the community, getting you out. Because you also said that you're doing something with Pigeon Hill Brewery. So, you know, talk to us about those types of things.
I think what's really beautiful about Muskegon is that there's just this energy and understanding about collaboration over competition. We understand that when one of us rises, we all rise.
Nice.
And within the restaurant industry especially, like I grew up here, but I've never been in a full commercial kitchen. Our kitchen is the size of a food truck. It's tiny. Going into other people's kitchens and like, I'm in awe. I'm like, wow, I can put my arms out in here.
Yeah, there's
like,
elbow room.
It's beautiful. But we have found that, one, we love collaborating with other people, but it's brought us the most success. Like it's nice. The posts that perform the best. It's the product that gets the most attention. It's when we're collaborating with other people. Pigeon Hill, they are, Michael and Alana, they have become beautiful champions for this business. They are making sure whenever they get tamales, they post it on their social media. Whenever we go visit, same thing, and they're encouraged. They left us a beautiful Google review. You know, it's like those little things, they add up and they mean so much to us. But we recently connected and we are collaborating on a specialty brew called Mi Gente. So it's a brew that was developed at City Built Brewery in Grand Rapids. Ed, the person who developed the brew and the artwork, is like, here's everything you need to make this beer. What I need back from you is that wherever this is brewed, the proceeds are going to help and empower the Latino community where it's brewed. So when I met with Pigeon Hill, I was like, crazy idea. But my grandparents, Angel Luis and Connie, they created a fund with the Community Foundation before the passing of my grandmother. She knew that she wanted to leave a mark in Muskegon even after her passing. So they created this fund with the intention of supporting Latino students and entrepreneurs here in Muskegon. And I was like, I don't know if this fits the bill of exactly what you're looking for, but if it does, I would really, really love for the proceeds of this brew to go to that foundation.
Nice.
And so they communicated with City Built and it's looking like we've got the thumbs up. So I'm really, really excited. So Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, it's a Sunday. The brew is going to be launched and we will be at Pigeon Hill slinging tamales. You get to have some Mi Gente brew and some of our tamales, and the proceeds from that brew and our tamale sales of that day will be going to their fund.
That is incredible.
I'm so excited.
Yes. And so let's talk about, because we've talked heavily about tamales.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to do is just take a quick step back and talk about the menu here. Because really it is kind of a mixture of, I guess, what I would call like old world versus like ingredients that are local to Muskegon.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that.
So when we took over back in 2021, I changed nothing. Nothing on the menu changed at all. I wanted people to come back and have confidence. The price, not even the prices, even though there was like, it was middle of the pandemic, like, prices were so volatile. I was like, no, nothing can change. I want people to come back and know that it's us. But as my confidence grew, I was like, we need to have a little bit of fun. The dish that we are most known for is a dish that my mom named after herself in life. So her name is Francisca. Her nickname was Pancha. And this dish is called the panchita. So it's like little pancha, but it's a very Muskegon thing. Like when people just don't, you can't find this really outside of Muskegon, but it's a chips, cheese, meat, and gravy. So people hear gravy. Ooh. So outsiders, they're just like, gravy? That's what I put on my mashed potatoes. Or is it a gravy that goes on my, like, what is this gravy?
Right.
And I've had a little practice now explaining it because it's, for people who come in, I'm just like, can I just give you some? Like, it's really hard to explain. Like, let me just put some on a tortilla chip so you can try it. But it's a brown gravy. So it's got a little bit of a thickness to it, like a gravy.
Right.
And it's full of spices, but it's not spicy. So there's no heat to it. The flavor profiles are like Tex-Mex flair.
Okay.
So it's really bold, but it like complements the ground beef and the cheese. And so this dish has the gravy and melty cheese, and then we load it up with lettuce and tomato, onion, sour cream, and peppers. So just imagine super messy nachos. Like,
oh,
that's what it's like.
That's heaven right there.
Yeah. So that guy is our bestseller by a landslide. I always highlight the tamales. They're unique because we stone grind our corn in-house. But when you're talking about a mixture of the traditional ways of doing things, like stone grinding corn, like you can't get more traditional than that.
So when you talk about stone grinding, I'm having this vision of like this like stone circular table with a wheel that goes around. That's what I think.
That's one way to do it.
Oh, okay. Not the way we do it.
Yeah. So we have to cook the corn low and slow. It steeps overnight, and then we have to clean it. So the outer part of the corn has to be removed.
Okay.
And then we have it's a machine. There are people, especially if they're not stone grinding 50 or 100 pounds of corn like we do at a time, where they can do it manually. But we have a machine that has the two volcanic stones.
Oh,
and then
nice.
We feed it through a hopper and it gets milled to the masa. So that part is very, very traditional. But we were talking off mic how our filling really isn't. So we use a ground pork. Most other tamales that you'll have use shredded meat. We have had these tamales since the 70s. And unfortunately, the people who have the answers to why we do the things we do aren't here anymore.
Boo.
But it's just that one food item alone is like a beautiful representation of like mixing traditional with who we are here in Muskegon. So I always like to highlight those just because stone ground tamales are very, very hard to come by. But like you said, we've been injecting some personality. So we brought chicken tamales, which use a shredded chicken. But we've also been playful. So like we introduced a jalapeno popper tamale last year.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So that one's like a pickled jalapeno with cream cheese as the filling. So we're having a lot of fun. But then we also brought in like street style steak tacos. So my husband is from Mexico and he's like, my buddy's from the construction site. They come visit me when they're working here in Muskegon. Like I want them to know that I'm here too. So we've been playing with a couple different things. We wish we could play a little more, but we have such a small kitchen and such a small team.
Sure.
That it's hard to get creative sometimes, but we've had a couple catering customers who are just like, have fun. And I'm like, heck yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, so we've done like fruit cups and elote salad. And I get to flex my creativity a little bit more with catering. But we keep a lot of those traditional elements that have been here since the 70s. But every once in a while, we get to play.
When somebody is coming to Navarro's, like for that first time, talk to us. What can they expect?
Something that I'm really, really proud of is that we do pride ourselves on excellent customer service. So when we're coming in, like I'm going to let you take your time and look over the menu, but I'm going to ask you if you want me to highlight a couple of those dishes and I'll give you the same spiel that, so you can say, I heard it on Cliff's podcast. You don't need me to repeat it, but I'll give you the spiel. I highlight our wet burrito now because last October we were voted the best wet burrito in Muskegon.
Nice.
So I have to like, you know, a little feather in my cap. So I'm going to let you hang out and like suggest some things and ask you some questions like how long is your drive? You know, these things travel a little bit better because we are takeout only, but I think they're going to experience really good food. We very much are a styrofoam container, brown bag, like those thank you plastic bags that some people might think are tacky, but we have just leaned into this is our identity. This is who we are. And yeah, it's not coming in eco-friendly, beautiful little container. It's a little grungy and a little rough around the edges, but on the inside, like, you're going to find some kick butt food, and we hope that you keep coming back.
Mari, if somebody's listening to this and they want to connect with you, find you online, even come and visit you.
Yeah. Please,
where can they do that?
Please come see us. So we are located not quite on the corner of 8th and Sherman in Muskegon Heights. So less than a half a mile off of Seaway. So if you're coming into Muskegon, we have a website, navarrosonline.com. We're on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram. We dabble a little bit in the TikTok, but not much. But whenever I see a funny trend, I jump on it. So
nice. Mari, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I really appreciate it.
And for our audience, you can always roll on over to totalmichigan.com, click on Mari's interview, and get the links that she mentioned above. We will see you next time when we talk to another Michigander doing some pretty extraordinary things. We'll see you then.